I don't know if it's the fog, or the bells, or Anne's creepiness, but I'm walking a bit faster now. A girl who sees visions, paired with one who's a walking tour guide of things that go bump in the night. Perhaps this is Spencer's little way of matchmaking. You're in first class with B.
Yes, I say.
Who are the others?
She ticks off the names one by one.
And Felicity and Pippa.
Anne stops, suddenly on edge.
Felicity and Pippa. Those are lovely names, I say cheerfully. It's such an insipid comment that I should be shot for it, but I'm dying to know more about these two girls who are going to be in our class.
Anne lowers her voice.
They're not lovely. Not at all. The bell finally stops ringing, leaving a strange, hollow hush in its absence.
No, part girl, part wolf. Do they lick their butter knives?
Anne not only doesn't find me amusing, but her eyes take on a cold, hard look.
Be careful around them. Don't trust...
From behind us, a husky voice cuts her off.
Talking too much again, Anne?
We whip around to see two faces emerging from the mist, the blonde and the beauty. They must have lagged behind and sneaked up on us. The smoky voice belongs to the blonde.
Don't you know that is a most unbecoming trait?
Anne's jaw hangs open, but she doesn't answer. The brunette laughs and whispers something in the blonde's ear, which makes her launch into that full, ripe smile again. She points to me.
You're the new girl, aren't you?
I don't like the way she says this. New girl, as if I might be some sort of insect that hasn't been given a classification yet. Hideous corpus female.
Gemma Doyle, I say,
trying not to flinch or look away first. It's a trick my father used when he haggled over a price. Now I'm haggling over something undefined, but more important, my place in the pecking order of Spence. There is a second's pause before she turns away from me and holds Anne with a chilly gaze.
Gossip is a very bad habit. We don't indulge bad habits here at Spence, Mademoiselle Scholarship, she says, giving the last two words a nasty emphasis.
A reminder that Anne isn't of the same class and shouldn't expect the same treatment.
You have been warned. Nice to meet you, Miss Doyley, she says, linking arms with the brunette, who bumps my shoulder hard as they pass us.
Terribly sorry, she says, and bursts out laughing. If I were a man, I'd flatten her. But I'm not a man. I'm here to be a lady. No matter how much I loathe it already.
Come on, Anne says in a shaky voice once they're gone. It's time for prayers.
I don't know if she means in general or strictly for herself. We scurry across the threshold of the quiet, cavernous chapel and take our seats, our footsteps echoing off the marble floors. Arched, wood-beamed ceilings soar a good 15 feet above us. Candelabras line the sides of the church, casting long shadows over the wooden pews. Stained glass windows line the walls, colourful advertisements for God, pastoral scenes of angels doing angelic sorts of things, visiting villagers, telling them good news, petting sheep, cradling babies. There is the odd panel with a severed gorgon's head, an angel in armour standing next to it, brandishing a sword dripping blood. Can't say that I've heard that particular Bible story, or want to, really. It's a bit gruesome, so I turn my attention to the altar, where a vicar stands, tall and thin as a scarecrow. The vicar, whose name is Reverend Waite, leads us in prayers that all begin with, O Lord, and end with our somehow not being worthy. Sinners who have always been sinners, and will forevermore be sinners until we die. It isn't the most optimistic outlook I've ever heard, but we're encouraged to keep trying anyway. I have to watch Anne and the others to see when to kneel, when to rise, and when to mouth along to the hymn. My family is vaguely Anglican, like everyone else, but the truth is that we rarely went to church in India. On Sundays, Mother took me for picnics under hot, cloudless skies. We'd sit on a blanket and listen to the wind whip across dry land, whistling to us.
This is our church, she'd say,
combing fingers through my hair. My heart's a tight fist in my chest, while my lips mouth words I don't feel. Mother told me that most of the English only prayed with heart and soul when they needed something from God. What I want most from God is to have my mother back. That isn't possible. If it were, I'd pray to anyone's God, night and day, to make it so. The vicar sits and Mrs. Nightwing stands. Anne moans slightly under her breath.
Oh no, she's going to make a speech, she whispers.
Does she do this every Vespers? I ask.
No,
Anne says, giving me a sidelong glance.
She's doing it for your benefit.
Suddenly, I can feel every pair of eyes glaring at me. Well, this should put me off to a rousing start with everyone.
Ladies of Spence Academy, Mrs. Nightwing begins. As you know, for 24 years, Spence has enjoyed a reputation as one of England's finest finishing schools. While we can and will teach you the necessary skills to become England's future wives and mothers, hostesses and bearers of the Empire's feminine traditions, it will be up to each of you to nurture and feed your souls, and to apply yourselves with grace, charm and beauty. This is the Spence motto, grace, charm and beauty. Let us all rise and say it together.
There is a great rustling as 50 girls stand at attention and recite the pledge, chins tilted upward toward the future.
Thank you. You may be seated. For those girls who have returned to us this year, you shall set the example for the others. For those who are new to us,
Mrs. Nightwing scans the chapel till she finds me next to Anne.
We expect nothing less than your very best.
Thinking this is our dismissal, I rise from the pew. Anne pulls on my skirt.
She's just begun, she whispers.
And, indeed, Mrs. Nightwing astonishes me by prattling on about virtue, the well-mannered girl, suitable breakfast fruits, the unfortunate influence of Americans on British society, and her own fondly remembered school days. Time has no meaning. I feel as if I have been left in the desert to die and am waiting eagerly for the vultures to begin their work and end my misery.